Hi, I'm David Yak with Colorado Technology Consultants. In this session, we're going to continue looking at Silverlight and how to work with data as well as interact with the forums when using Silverlight in CRM 2011. One of the new features of CRM 2011 was that it has a new OData endpoint. The OData endpoint is a REST endpoint that allows, instead of client-side technologies like AJAX and jQuery and Silverlight to have to hack together SOAP requests manually by concatenating strings, it now allows to use some of the out-of-box technology, OData, WCF Data Services, that you might be familiar with doing normal .NET development. The nice thing about this is you get a consistent experience, so your query experience, you're able to compose linked queries. You're able to also use the endpoint in addition to query for doing, creates, updates, deletes, all the common CRUD-type operations where you're working with data. When you're working with the OData endpoint, you'll generate classes. So the CRM server exposes metadata. So what it's able to do is basically add together, and just like you would if you were generating code on the server, where we saw with CRM service utility, you'll be able to use the data service utility to generate type classes that you use from your Silverlight application. There's also a great example at odata.org if you need to work with things more generically. So maybe you don't want the type classes because you want to build a utility similar to the photo capture utility that you saw in the example. In that one, we used the some utilities that were at odata.org where they had a more generic data context that we could work with OData and consume that. Because at the end of the day, it's just a REST service. You're making a request. You might be making a GET request to get data, and the XML is being formatted back. These libraries, what they do is they help you basically materialize the objects that you're working with and also know how to take an object, to, let's say a contact, serialize that, send it across to the CRM server to be processed. Once it gets to the CRM server side, like we talked about in the OData session, it basically goes through the normal WCF endpoint routines as well as the normal platform pipeline, so the plugins and different events run regardless of whether the action was invoked from the Silverlight client or from the server side as well. In addition to working with OData, you're also able to work with the form data. Why might you want to do that? Well, you might want to basically, like in my example where we were building the number slider, you might want to be able to have a richer experience for the developer to be, or the end user to be able to work with that. And so by doing things like a slider, you need to be able to set the values on the record that's being edited so that the user just hits the save button and has that consistent experience. With the HTML bridge that Silverlight offers, you're able to reach back, and we'll look at an example of that as we get a little further into it, but you're able to interact with any of the fields on the form using the client API. You're also able to do things like show and hide tabs, sections, all the stuff that you could do from the client scripting model, you can also do from within the Silverlight component reaching back through the HTML bridge. When you're working with OData, the first thing you're going to do, you need to basically get the generated classes. You can do an add service reference. However, that only really works well on-premise. In a CRM online scenario, for example, it doesn't work to simply do an add service reference and try to point to the CRM online URL. So you want to go to settings, customizations, and from there you'll be able to download, and we'll see that in an example here as we get into the demo. You'll be able to download the CSDL. The CSDL is the conceptual model for all the entities that are in CRM. That CSDL file is fed into the data service utility. Data service utility basically will build a single file that contains type classes for each of the entities it finds in there. You'll then add that file to your project instead of doing add service reference. I typically recommend doing that whether you're doing on-premise or online development, because you never know where your solution might end up in the future. And if you just start by going through that process, you can have that already there. You can automate data service utility either from the execute command line, or if you need to, you can package that up as part of your build so that when you do a build of the code, it goes and pulls that in and updates the classes for you. You can easily do create, read, update, all the basic stuff using the OData endpoint. One thing to keep in mind when you're doing data interaction or any type of network operations from Silverlight, they're all asynchronous operations. By that, I mean you're going to follow a paradigm where you start the request. So in the case of a query, you're going to start the query, and then you're going to be notified when the query is completed. You do that so you don't block the user interface, and the user has that fluid experience that the user interaction still keeps going. So that's something to keep in mind when working with it. Just like you saw with the link client when we talked about the link provider for WCF in the earlier sessions where you're running more server-based code, when you're working with the OData endpoint, you're going to have a data context as well, or a service context. And as you're making changes to data, so let's say I'm creating a record, you're going to add that to so the context is aware of it. You may make multiple changes like that and then do a submit changes to have that sent off to the server. Until you do the send off to the server, those changes are just local on the client and they are not there's no interaction with the server. Submit changes, again, is an asynchronous operation and takes place at the once that gets submitted by the user. So at this point, we'll go ahead and let's do a quick demo of working with the OData endpoint and see how that works.
In this example, I want to take a look at how we can work with data in Silverlight. Specifically, we're going to look at how the OData works and an example application that is a contact editor. This example is from the SDK. There's also an equivalent one that you can look at using an Ajax style of development, also working with the OData service. So if you want to contrast the two, it's a good place to look for an example of how they work. Now, in this example, we've already built out the application, so we have a contact editor that's a Silverlight application. It's done a reference to the OData service. Now, a couple ways you can do that. One is you can just simply right-click on here, do the Add Service Reference. That works, as we said, well when you're in on-premise, but doesn't work as well when you're in CRM Online. When you're in CRM Online, you're going to want to go over to Settings, Customizations, and on the Developer Resources page, you'll see that there's a specific place that you can download the CSDL file. So if we come over here, click Download CSDL, what this is actually going to do is download the conceptual level metadata. The conceptual level metadata is basically tells the data types. So for each entity, you're going to find entry in there with each of the properties and each of the data types and some of the basic information. It's not quite like the CRM metadata that has all the translated labels and things like that to the normal languages. You basically using this, you'd download it, you'd run the data service utility. The data service utility produces a class, a file that contains all the proxy classes. Those proxy classes allow you to work with in Silverlight the typed entities for things like contact, account, and so forth. The other thing that you're going to do when you're working with the OData endpoint is you're going to first go ahead and get an instance of that proxy class. You're going to pass that a endpoint. In this case, you're going to set that up passing the URI of the organization data service. They're using a utility here to basically be able to build that. The server URL comes from that utility. That server utility, if you looked into it, is simply going to call in through the xrm.page context and get the call the get server URL method. So here you're seeing the xrm page context get server URL. They go through and pull that in. With that, they get an instance of the data context, very similar to working server-side with the link provider. Here you're working with a link provider that is over HTTP. So when you do queries, here we're going to go into search context. Before we do, I do want to call out this one place where we're setting the ignore missing properties. That's very important because as you change your schema and there's a little differences between the client and what the server has, if you don't have ignore missing properties on there, you'll end up getting errors with some of the queries and updates that you do. If we go in to look at search contacts, we'll see the pattern emerge and how we can use the link provider from the Silverlight application. So in this case, what they're doing is saying if the query is null, I'm going to do a query using the data service query on contact. They're basically saying the equivalent of get all. Remember that this retrieves 50 records each time. You can go back and get the remaining sets if you're doing a single query. You can also add on to that skip and take and so forth to do simple paging. You'll notice that when it runs this query, it does a begin execute. As I've mentioned before, Silverlight runs all networking operations asynchronously. The calls are begun. You provide a callback handle, in this case on contact search completed that will get called after the query has started and once it's ready for processing. That allows the UI thread to be responsive back to the user during that. You can compose link queries. So you'll notice here it's saying .contactSet where the name contains and whatever criteria was passed. This turns into $filter on full name and basically a substring, so forth, on full name. You don't have to know all the complicated query string parameters. You're able to build link queries. Those link queries get translated into an HTTP query string that has all the dollar filters and so forth on it, and that ultimately gets sent over to begin the query. When you go to finish the query, so if we look at the on search completed, we get a reference to that query that was run. We then map that into a data services collection. The data services collection is kind of a friendly collection. It wraps around that, allows for doing things like getting more records and things like that quite easily. When we're working with doing updates and adds, it's like the server side. The context tracks those items, and then ultimately when we're done, we're going to call begin save changes. Begin save changes does the commit of the changes to the server side asynchronously with a callback when it's completed. And you're able to, when it's completed, then go in and check the results from that and do any necessary processing. So here we're calling save results, and we could do any processing that was necessary from there. The other thing that we look at is things like delete. So delete is very simple. We'll call delete object and then call the begin save. Update and create are very similar. You just queue up the updates that you want to be able to do, and then you go ahead and record those on there. So using the OData service with Silverlight, you're able to have access to the CRM data. You're able to do all the basic create, update, and delete operations. You're able to take advantage of using the link syntax to be able to do those queries. And when that doesn't work, you're also able to fall back to the WCF service from Silverlight as well now in the release product. Now, when you fall back to the Silverlight application, the WCF SOAP layer, typically you would do that for accessing the CRM metadata where, for example, you need to get the label values for a pick list or option set, I should say. The other times might be if you need to do any type of exec call, execute is not supported by the OData service, you'd have to go to the WCF layer to be able to do those. One other area that you would use them is if you need to do any type of aggregate queries. That's where you would do the execute and use the fetch XML to be able to take advantage of some of the aggregate queries on there. In closing, Silverlight provides a way that you can easily build applications that are rich. We saw that in this example, and we'll see it in some of the other examples that we're looking at with the Silverlight pieces.
Another thing that you might want to do is be able to interact with the forms. And there's a couple of things that you might want to be able to do here. The first thing is you might want to just simply be able to get the value of some data because that's already loaded. There's no reason that you want to basically reach back to the CRM server again and do a query. When that data has already been loaded onto the form, you can just take advantage of that using the client API. So using the HTML bridge, you're able to reach off and be able to do that. The other thing you might want to be able to do is interact with the controls, whether it's a tab, whether it's a one of the other pieces. You might want to be able to basically hide or show things based on values or interaction that happens in the Silverlight application. Applicable, again, you'd use the HTML bridge to be able to do that. You can also interact with events, so you might want to be registered to, when the on-save happens, you might want to have your Silverlight component notified and be able to participate in that save process to do some additional processing. So HTML Bridge is your friend. This is kind of your path to being able to reach back into the client content. It provides a nice, smooth way that you can, once you've gotten a reference in there, and especially with the dynamic language runtime support, you'll see in my example as we get into the demo that you're able to do that not necessarily using all the type methods, and there's a couple of shortcuts that you can do to make that a little easier to work with. You also might want to build a little wrapper around it for the common things that you can do, and you could certainly generate that from the metadata if you wanted to, a fully typed model that you were being able to pull there. You can use it to hide, show fields, retrieve data. All of that is stuff that you might want to leverage the HTML bridge to be able to do.
For our example, we're going to build a numeric slider to replace a numeric input that would typically be done on a CRM form. The first thing we're going to do is build out the Silverlight control. So to do that, I'm going to open up Visual Studio. I'm going to create a new project. So we're going to select a Silverlight project. There are different types of Silverlight templates, as you can see: application, class library, business application, navigation. Silverlight application is the most common one you're going to use when you're going to create a control. You might also use the class library. Those are probably the two most common ones that you'll use when working with CRM. We'll call this the CRM slider control. And what we're going to do is go ahead and let that create. One of the things that it does when you run through the new project wizard is prompt you if you want to create a web project to host the Silverlight application. It's not a bad idea to do this. It allows you to have a simple test page that you can run the application with. And also for some Silverlight applications that you integrate with CRM, you need a HTML page that will host the control, because it's not automatically provided for you unless you're hosting that Silverlight on the form. And you can quickly reuse the one that comes as a test page for the project in those cases. So in general, I tend to recommend go ahead and creating that new web application to go along with it. Or if you're creating another control and you already have a web application, you can go ahead and reuse the one that you have already. Once it finishes creating, you'll see that you have two projects that are showing up in Solution Explorer. So if we go ahead and expand this, you'll see that we have our Silverlight control and then also our web project that's hosting it. When we build the Silverlight application, it's going to place the output in the client bin. That will be the file that we'll actually upload to the CRM server and will be shown on the application form. As we switch back over, you'll notice in the designer surface, we now have full designer surface in Silverlight inside Visual Studio. We can use the toolbar, if we wanted to drag the slider over. So we could come over here, simply start typing the letters SLI, and it would locate the control on the toolbox. We could drag this over and place it on the form like that. Alternatively, what we're going to do is also, you can also jump right into the XAML. And we're going to go down here and drop a prearranged slider control into the form. Now, all this has is a couple of things in terms of formatting on it. So we basically have set the height, the margin, to move it over a little bit, and the width. And we've also set the handler on it that we'll actually add some code to in the code behind. And so if we jump down into the code behind for this, this is where we can go ahead and add the handler. Now, in the handler is where we're going to be doing the work to interact with the CRM form. And the big thing we want to be able to do here is, like I said, reach back through the HTML bridge to the form, get the value, get access to the control, and then set the value based on whatever the user has moved the slider. We could use the code that comes out of the SDK, so I'm going to add that in. Here we have the script object calls. I'm going to go ahead and resolve those, add the usings to them. And you'll see what it's doing here is it's saying HTML page window get property. And so we're trying to get access to the client scripting API, the XRM.page API that we would have talked about in the client scripting module. And off of that, we want to get to the context. And the reason we want to get to these different objects is so that we can do interaction with a CRM form. In this case, we're going to be going after a particular field, the number of employees. And in the lab, you'll actually see examples of how to also go after and pass in the field that you want to get using the data parameters. But in this case, we're going to go after a specific field and hard code it in there. Now, this way of going about doing the calls, the HTML page, is okay. But also, another option for doing that is to take advantage of the dynamic language runtime that has been added for our use as well. And so this works in conjunction with the dynamic keyword. So I'm going to go ahead and copy out the code that we just added there. And we're going to add in a little bit different code, this taking advantage of the dynamic language runtime. as well as the dynamic keyword. You'll notice that what we're doing here is instead of saying script object space XRM, we're now saying dynamic space XRM, and we're assigning that to the value of the XRM property on the page. So it looks very similar, but with one difference here is that we're using that dynamic keyword. That dynamic keyword is very important. What it does is allow the compiler to go ahead and compile, even though if we did something like XRM.dave, there's no Dave method on an object, and you'll notice that right now it's giving us a little bit of an error, but that's simply because we haven't completely resolved the Microsoft C# DLL. So let's go ahead and add that to our references. And then that should make that go away. Let's make sure we can build. And you'll see that we can build this even though there is no XRM.dave method. That just doesn't exist. What the dynamic keyword does is basically instruct the compiler to give us some leniency until runtime. And at runtime, it will try to resolve Dave. And if we actually tried to run this, we would get an error because Dave doesn't exist. However, it would still compile okay. And what this allows us to do, though, is more importantly, when we're actually doing valid calls, like in this example, what we're going to do is say xrm.page.data.entity.attributes.get and pass it the number of employees. And this would be, if we did it in the other style, would be a series of these calls with a lot of casting and things like that. This allows us to almost make the call identical to what we see in the CRM SDK if you were doing it from JavaScript. And so what we get back here is an access to the number attribute. We're going to go ahead and set the value of the attribute to what the value of the slider is. So we're going to do another call using that number attribute. We're going to call the setValue method. And again, this is the exact same method you would call if you were working in JavaScript. We're getting the value from the slider, and we're setting that on there. Now, at this point, what we want to do is go ahead and make sure this compiles, because we should have done enough to make sure that when the slider value changes, that we go ahead and update the form. Now, we're not doing some other things we might do if we were building this out as a real control, things like get the initial value when it loads up, more error handling and different things like that. But what we want to show you is that you can very easily build a control that interacts with the form and goes and sets that data in it. So we've gone ahead and built this. I'm going to go ahead and get a location where this control resides. So I put it in test CRM slider. And next, we're going to go ahead back to the account form. I'm going to open up the account form, go to customize. And what we're going to do is go ahead and create a web resource, upload the Silverlight slider control to it, place that on the form, and then see if that works for modifying our value. So the first thing we need to do is go down and locate where the number of employees field is. Let's go ahead and make a little bit of room here for this control to go. And so we're going to want to place it right about there. So we're going to come over to Insert Web Resource. Our particular control has not been uploaded yet. So we don't see any web resources on the list. We're going to click New. And we're going to go ahead and upload. And we'll just call this CRM slider control. Set the type to be Silverlight. Go ahead and browse. I'm going to go ahead and look in the folder that we built that into, the client bin. We're going to go ahead and select the slider control. And we'll go ahead and save and then publish that web resource. And get this out of the way here. Publish that. This follows the publish model, so once you publish it, makes it available for external users or users of the control to see it while it's in without being published, it would only be visible if you went into preview and so forth from here. So once this finishes publishing, We'll go ahead and save and close, and then go ahead and insert that onto our form where the, next to the number of employees. Now, normally you would not show the number of employees too, because you're trying to replace that. But in this case, we actually I want to demonstrate that it is actually updating the form with the changes as you move the slider control on there. Go ahead and hit save and close. Go ahead and select that web resource, okay, to insert that on the form. When we insert it, we need to give it a little bit of information. It asks for a name. That name is what you would be interacting with it if you were doing any scripting and wanted to access that web resource directly, like to call methods on it. We're going to add this as number of employees, so it looks just like the other form that's there. If we were passing parameters, for example, if we wanted to pass the field that we were hooking up to, like number of employees, in the lab, you'll actually go through and you'll type in that number of employees here, and then we'll see how to pick that up from within the control so that we don't have a hard-coded one on there. You can also pass the record object type and the unique identifier to it. You typically do this if you need that ID to be able to reach back to the OData service, retrieve additional data from there to be able to do your processing. On the formatting tab, you're going to see an option for one or two columns. Those are pretty standard, but then we get down into the row layout, which we're going to go ahead and change to one row. And then we're going to change this to use a specific size. And for that, we're going to do, let's try 305 and 50 for that. There is a little bit of flexibility here in terms of how you want to have this size so that you can get your application to show up as appropriate at runtime. And obviously, if we were doing this for real, we'd also probably style that slider control a little bit more to try to make that look a little bit more realistic. Looks like this is taking over both fields, so let's go back over to there and go ahead and just say that we want to take up one column. And so there's that. We also probably want to have the label displayed on the field, because what we want to do is have this look just like the other control as close as possible. We'll go ahead and save the form, publish our changes. Save and close. Go ahead and refresh our form. And then we'll scroll down and see if our slider control is showing up for us. And it is. We see we now have our slider control. You can see how if we wanted to have this blend in a little bit more, we just would change the background color on that. And you'll notice as we change the value of the slider now, the number of employees goes up and down accordingly. So what we've seen in this demo is that we can very simply build a slider control, replace it on the form. It has the ability to interact with the data that's already on the form, which means we don't have to go retrieve that data separately. And we've also provided a little richer and differentiated experience for providing input of that numeric value.
One of the other things that's a common thing that you end up doing is having to debug applications. And Silverlight's a little bit different for debugging than you might be traditionally used to because it runs in the client browser. What you're going to do is basically attach to the browser process. Once you've attached to the browser process, you'll set a breakpoint. Once that breakpoint is set and you run through the application, it'll hit that breakpoint. You're able to jump in and use the full debugging capabilities. It's nice you don't get a cryptic little error message at the bottom of the browser. You're able to hook in, step through line by line. And that's true whether it's deployed, you know, if it's deployed to the server, as long as you have access, because it runs in the client, you don't have to worry. There's no server debugging that you have to get do. So let's go ahead and take a quick look at how we debug with Silverlight.
In this demo, let's take a quick look at how we debug a Silverlight application. So picking up where we left off with our slider example, we have on our form a slider control. What if we wanted to be able to hook up the debugger to that and get control so we can go through normal debugging? Silverlight runs on the client side, which means it runs in the browser process. So the way that you debug Silverlight is to attach Visual Studio to the browser process. So from within Visual Studio, after you've deployed a debug version of the application, go to Debug, click Attach, not Start Profile. So we're going to go back, click Attach. We're going to look at the process list. And what we're looking for is Internet Explorer. So the easiest way to do that is to sort that. Go back up and look for, let's sort it by name. And we'll come down and look for our process that we have here. And in this case, the easiest way to find is to make sure we find the one that has the Silverlight runtime captured. Sometimes you need to reopen the window if it has a sub-window open, but in this case, we're going to go ahead and attach to that process. The next thing that we're going to do is inside the application. That's just a warning that my TFS couldn't be reached, not a problem for our debugging. What we're going to do, though, is set a breakpoint in here when we get to just about to do the call for the dynamic get of the XRM attribute. And so then we'll come back over to our form. Let's see if we were able to hook it up or if we have to relaunch the form. So we're going to relaunch that. Once that gets set up, we'll come down and change the value of the slider, we'll see that we get control in Visual Studio. The nice thing about this is you get the full debugging capabilities of Visual Studio, so not the limitations that you have when debugging JavaScript and things like that. You're able to do the full quick watches and navigate down and everything else that you would normally expect when debugging managed languages, including stepping through and obviously doing things like looking at the values as you get back. Pinning those values, so if you want to save that for later, you can hold that onto it. So just the full capability. So that's how easy it is to debug the Silverlight application. There's no server-side components required. You can simply attach the debugger and start debugging your Silverlight application right away.
So in summary, Silverlight applications are first-class applications in CRM 2011. You can very easily upload the ZAP file. You can insert that into web forms, have it accessed from the site navigation. Silverlight developers that are familiar with it, it's one Silverlight, meaning that it's one pattern that you're using, familiar tools, whether you're building it on the, in the browser, on the phone, all the different environments that support Silverlight provide that consistent experience. Once you've got comfortable with XAML and some of the common things, you're also able to interact with CRM and learn a little bit about CRM and be productive building Silverlight applications with it.